Bible study, I never talk. So I always say I'm group shy. So I think Kim was probably really surprised when I said that I would speak tonight, but when she asked me. But it's a blessing to be able to speak to you about what's going on in my life. Some of you know I've had a health crisis this last year. And so I just want to talk about how that came about and what the Lord's teaching me through it. And so a few points I want to touch on tonight are fear, worry, and anxiety. I don't know if any of you struggle with those issues, but Pastor John is raising his hand. Yay! trials and discomfort. Learning to wait upon the Lord and to trust in Him. I've done a lot of waiting the last 5 months. God's loving presence, which He's really shown me. And last of all, joy. And that we can have joy in the midst of our trials. So there are a few things I struggle with. One I've already mentioned was worry and fear and pain and discomfort. Going to the doctor or the dentist, because that usually has pain and discomfort in it, and that causes worry and fear. And then waiting has been so hard for me, always. I don't know why. You know, we live in a society where everything is instantaneous. That may be part of it, but I've just always had a hard time waiting, and I'm waiting on the Lord too. And so, I've been struggling with fear and anxiety since I was a little girl, and I don't know why, but it's something that has never really left me, and the Lord knows that, and I know that the Bible says not to worry. In Luke 12, 25-33, he says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to its stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" And then he says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So I've read the scripture so many times, and I love this scripture, and I still tend to worry. And, I'm 60 years old, and I don't want to worry anymore. I've worried enough in my life, and I just want to be one of those lilies. I want to be one of the lilies in the fields, and I just want to be there to let the Lord shine his love on me. And God uses our trials in our lives to grow us. And even though I'm talking about my situation now, I want to go back about 25 years to what I kind of considered one of my first times that the Lord grew me through a trial. It was another time. This is probably the second time. But going back 25 years, I was caring for my parents. And they were both terminal, and they were both, they had chronic long illnesses that were terminal. Mom had emphysema, my dad had heart disease, diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, and vascular disease. He was just a mess. And so I was working night times at a hospital so that I could care for my parents during the day. And then I had little kids at home, and so I was part of that sandwich generation, which so many people are in now. And it's a hard place to be in your life. It's a hard season when you're caring for children and then you're caring for parents that are older and frail and maybe sick. And so every day I would care for my parents, and And they got worse and worse and worse, and it was pitiful. It was pitiful. And it was sad, and there was such a sadness in my heart. And all my siblings, I'm one of six kids, but they all lived in different states. And I lived about 2 minutes away from my parents, which was great. And I was very blessed. My boss let me work nighttime so that I could be there for my parents during the day. And so there were a lot of blessings in that. But it was sad. It was sad, and it got sadder and sadder. And I started praying for a joyful countenance. I said, Lord, you know, when I was on my way driving to their house, I'd say, Lord, give me a joyful countenance. And I never even thought to say, give me joy, because I didn't see how I could have joy in the midst of that season, you know, where my parents were just so, so sick, and it was just so sad. And but I didn't want my parents to know how sad I was and how hard it was, and that was my main concern. So I said, Lord, please give me a joyful countenance, because I don't want my parents to know how hard this is on me. And so God is so good. A lot of times you pray for something, and then he will let you know that he has answered your prayer. He'll let you know it's by somebody else. So one day I was caring for my dad's feet. You know, he had diabetes and he had wounds on his feet. And so I would go there and clean his feet and medicate him and bandage him. And so one day I was bandaging his feet, and he and my mom were there. And my dad said, Mary, I know there are 100 places right now that you'd probably rather be than right here doing this. But yet, whenever you come here, you act like there is nowhere else you'd rather be. And I just said, well, Dad, I love being with you and Mom, you know. But silently, I just said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for letting me know that you've given me a joyful countenance, because that was your confirmation to me that, yes, my parents don't see the sadness and the pain and the tiredness, because I was so tired. And so God was so great to let me know that, yep, I gave you a joyful countenance, and your parents see it, so you're covered. And so anyway, after my parents passed away, it was at that time that I realized that the Lord had, he had definitely drawn me into a deeper walk with him through, you know, my time with my parents. And I was very blessed to be with them during that time of their lives. And I really realized that. It's like, Lord, thank you that I was as the youngest child, I was the one that was able to be there during this time of their life to help them through their deaths. And it's an honor. And but I also realized at some point that the Lord had not just given me a joyful countenance, but he'd actually given me his joy in my heart. And that's something I hadn't asked for and I didn't ever expect. And I'm so unworthy of that, but he gave it to me anyway, and I'm so grateful. So in James 1, 2, 3, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And so I realized how the Holy Spirit helped me to persevere during that season of my life. So now we're going to go forward to this time. I'm 60 years old. Ta-da! And so about a year ago, when I was almost 60, I started getting tired. And I didn't know what was wrong. We had started a new school year. I work as a health assistant, as a nurse's aide for LISD. And so I had had the summer off, and we were back to school. And there were some job changes in for the health assistants. And a few more duties were added to us. And so I started getting really tired. And I thought, what is wrong with me? You know, I'm not usually this tired. And I thought, well, the only thing that's changed in my life is my job. Things at my job have changed, and it's a little bit harder on me. And gosh, I'm a pansy, but I just can't take it. I'm tired. And so I got more and more tired. And even I used to always come to the Bible studies, and I didn't always do the homework. But I'm not a good homework doer, but I did come to the Bible studies. and I loved them. But it's just, I couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't, it's just, I would drag myself home from work, and, you know, half the time I didn't even want to eat. I just wanted to sleep. And so I told Kim and Tamar, I'm sorry, I can't go anymore. I don't know what's wrong. It's just my job is killing me. You know, it's what I thought it was. So anyway, I had a coworker, and earlier this year, she says, during spring break, I'm going to get a mammogram. And I go, wow, you know, I probably should get one too. I haven't had one in a few years. And she goes, you what? You haven't had one in a few years? And I said, no. And she said, why? I said, they're painful, and I don't like pain, and I hate pain, and they're painful, and I said, and besides, I don't have any lumps. You know, I've done self-exams. I have no lumps, and I think I'm good. She goes, you know, you really should get one. You really should get one. They aren't as painful as they used to be. They have 3D ones now, and she said, really, you know, make an appointment. So she shamed me into it. She shamed me into getting a mammogram. And I'm glad she did. And so I made my appointment. And the first day of spring break, I got my mammogram. And then 2 days later, I got an email that said, please call because there's something suspicious on your mammogram. So I called them. And this is where the Lord starts teaching me about waiting. You know, I said, I hate waiting. I called, and she says, we need to get you in tomorrow. I said, okay. And so I made my appointment. The next day, I was getting ready to go in, and she called me. The same woman called me. She said, our machine broke, so we can't see you for a week. And so worry started, and anxiety, and I started thinking, if I have cancer, that's another week of waiting. It could grow, you know? And so I started to be very anxious. And then I literally felt the peace of the Lord just come on me. And it's as if I felt him. It's kind of like I could hear him, but I could feel him say, don't strive. And like I said, it's almost like I could hear it, but I just really felt it in my being. And he said, don't strive. And I never use the word strive, so I knew it was the Lord. And I'm not one of those people that always says, I heard the Lord say this, and I heard the Lord say that, but I felt the Lord say, don't strive. And so I was just calm, and I waited. So a week later, I had a diagnostic mammogram and an ultrasound, and I was ready to leave. And the technician said, oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry. The doctor wants some more images. Would you get back in your gown? So I got back in my little gown. And then the tech starts doing more images of my underarms. I'm like, those are the lymph nodes. That's not good, because once the cancer travels to the lymph nodes, it can go anywhere. And so she took the additional scans, and then she says, yeah, the doctor wants to see you. So the doctor came up to me, and he holds my hand in both of his, and he said, can I sit with you? And I said, sure. And he goes, well, I'm going to say there's a 95% chance that you have cancer, that you have breast cancer, and I think I see it in the lymph nodes. And so you need a biopsy. And I said, okay, well, can you do the biopsy now? And he said, we don't do biopsies. I said, okay, I'm going to have to wait for a biopsy. He said, yeah, you have to find a place that does biopsies. So I had to find a place that was in network with my insurance, and found a place that did biopsies, and I waited. And so I waited for another week, and just the Lord said, don't strive. And so I was calm. He just gave me his peace. And so then the doctor, I had a woman doctor biopsy the breast mass, and she said, you know, I'm able to get that mass, but I can't get the lymph nodes. It's right next to a group of blood vessels, and it's just too dangerous. And so she says, I can't, you're just going to have to wait. I go, okay, I'm kind of used to waiting. So she called the following day, and she said, yes, you have breast cancer. I said, okay. She goes, about the lymph nodes, When you have your surgery, they can remove the lymph nodes and see if they're malignant. And I said, okay, and I thanked her. And, you know, and then I started thinking, well, how do I pray about this? There's so much unknown. And but I just felt the Holy Spirit tell me, just pray for the Lord's will, you know, whatever it is. And that's all I prayed for, was just the Lord's will. And I remembered a story that Pastor John told us during one of his sermons about Hezekiah. So King Hezekiah was a really good king, and he got very sick. And God had the prophet Isaiah, tell him that he's going to die. He said, God says you're going to die. And so Hezekiah, he had no children yet. And he said, I can't die, I can't die, I can't die. And so he begged and pleaded with the Lord not to die. He said, Lord, please don't let me die. Please let me live. Please let me live. And so God gave him 15 more years. And during that year, or during those 15 years, he had a son named Manasseh. And when Hezekiah died, Manasseh became the king. And he was one of the most evil kings to ever live. You know, his father was a good king. He was awful. He built altars to false gods. He worshipped idols inside of the Lord's holy temple. He desecrated that temple. He practiced witchcraft. He burned his own children to a false god. He sacrificed them to a false god. And he killed many, many people. And, you know, if Hezekiah had known how wicked his son would become, he probably would have had no desire to recover from his illness. And so, you know, if he'd accepted death when the Lord spoke to him, Manasseh would have never been born. And that story's always stuck with me since I heard Pastor John say it. And just as a real lesson of always want, you know, Lord, I always want the will, your will for my life. So anyway, next I had to find a surgeon. So I went to UT Southwestern. I met a surgeon, and she says, I know we couldn't get your lymph nodes, but I'm going to contact the chief of radiology and see if he can get an ultrasound on you and see if he can biopsy that lymph node. I said, great. So I waited 2.5 hours for the chief of radiology, but that was okay. So I'm in this long waiting room in my little gown. Everybody's in their little gowns. And I thought, all these people have cancer. I can't believe all these people have cancer. And then it struck me. It's like, wait, I got cancer. All of us have cancer, you know. It just struck me for the first time. It's like, wow, I have cancer. And then I started noticing the women that were there. And I noticed this one young woman in her 30s come and sit down. She had no hair. Her eyes looked really gaunt and just empty. And I just started praying for her. And then I started praying for, just looking around and praying for, you know, silently. I mean, you know, I didn't go up to them and pray. I'm not that bold. But God probably would have liked it if I did that. But I just prayed for all of them, you know, while I was waiting. It's like, Lord, okay, you're having me wait. You know, I don't like waiting, but you're having me wait. So right now, this will be my ministry. You know, and I prayed for these women with cancer. And, you know, a lot of them didn't have their hair. And that's a scary thing for women, you know, when they're facing cancer. So anyway, then I get in to see the chief of radiology, and he does the ultrasound. And I'm thinking, I'm going to get that biopsy today. And he goes, yep, I can get a biopsy. And he says to his nurse, make her an appointment. So I said, I don't get the biopsy today. And he goes, nope, sorry, make an appointment. So I waited, and the Lord said, don't strive. And then a week later, I had a biopsy, and they found the cancers and the lymph nodes. So once the doctors found out the cancer was in the lymph nodes, things went fast. The type of cancer I have is the most likely type of cancer to spread to other organs. So they were just moving. They were moving. I had so many scans, and so many people here took me to, you know, my husband was on a new job, and so, like, Robin took me to appointments, Dixie and her husband took me to appointments, Michelle, and a lot of people offered, and y'all were just so great, and I just felt the love of God through everybody in this church. And so anyway, during the past 5 months, I've had 25 different medical procedures. I've had CTs and MRIs and ultrasounds and bone scans and bone density scans and biopsies. I've had 12 mammograms. 12 mammograms. Made up for all those years. I really made up for it. 12 mammograms. I had 2 mammograms last month. And they just keep wanting to give me mammograms. And So one of the tests I had was a chest CT. And after I had that, my surgeon called and said, "You got 5 lung nodules. And we don't know if the cancer has spread to the lungs. They're too small to biopsy. So we're going to wait. And we're going to wait 3 months and do another CT and see if they've changed in appearance. And if they haven't, then maybe it's like scarring from bronchitis or something, or pneumonia. But we're just going to have to wait." So I waited 3 months to see if the cancer had spread to the lungs. And the Lord just gave me a peace during that time. He really did. I felt during that time of not knowing if the cancer had spread or not, I felt like I had 1 foot on earth and 1 foot in heaven. And it was really a wonderful feeling. And I kept thinking, I could be in heaven soon. You know, I could be with the Lord soon. And it was kind of exciting, really. It was kind of exciting. Except I told Dixie, I said, "The thing is, I hate pain, you know." And so Dixie says, "They got medicine for that." And if you know Dixie, that's exactly what she would say. "They got medicine for that." I think she was as excited for me to get to heaven as I was. Not that she wanted me to die. I don't mean that, Dixie. I don't mean that. But you were excited for me. And and so many people prayed for me. Pastor John and the elders prayed over me and anointed me with oil, and I really appreciated that. James 5:14 says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." So John and the elders prayed for me, and then another time, another group of people and the elders prayed for me and anointed me. And I just so appreciate that. I think when you pray for someone, especially someone who's sick, it forms a bond. It forms a—I mean, this is my brain, okay? This is nothing from the Bible, but I think when you are prayed for like that, it forms a holy bond. And I feel so bonded to so many people at our church, you know? And I have people at my work praying for me. And so anyway, as far as my private prayers to the Lord— the Holy Spirit was just saying, pray for the Lord's will. And that's all I prayed for. So I know the Lord's able to heal me, and he can heal me supernaturally. He can heal me automatically. He can heal me through medicine and surgery, or he can give me the ultimate healing. And I'm fine with that too. You know, to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. And what could be better than that? Just to be present with the Lord. And so that's kind of where I was at that point. It's like, maybe I'm going to be in heaven soon. Anyway, and so I love this scripture. Acts 20:24 says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." So I love that verse. It's real special. On April 30th, I got to meet my oncologist. I had met my surgeon, but I hadn't met my oncologist. And so I was expecting to get a port put in my chest for chemo. That's what I thought I was going there for. And when she came into the room, she said, "You know, I have to be honest with you. We find that the kind of cancer you have doesn't really respond to chemo very well. So we have this medicine that if you'd like to take it, we would like to try it on you, and you would take it every day, and we're going to try to starve that cancer and kill it." And she said, "Well, we're going to shrink it, you'll still have to have surgery, but we want to shrink that cancer for 6 months, and for up to 6 months. And then you have your mastectomy, and then you'll stay on the medicine for 5 years. And I said, wow, well, I not have to have chemo? And she said, no, you don't have to have chemo. You may have to have radiation. If there are more than 3 lymph nodes that have cancer, then I'll have to have radiation. So anyway, I'm just so grateful for this treatment option that they've given me. And my oncologist is so sweet. I just love her. So I'm just grateful that I might not have to have chemo. Hopefully not radiation. We'll see. Not looking forward to the mastectomy, which is November 15th. You know, I hate pain. You all know that. But you know, as Dixie says, they've got pain meds. She never lets me have a pity party. Never. She's like, they have pain meds, Mary. Don't worry about it. So, anyway. In July, I had the repeat chest CT. I was praying the Lord's will, but I also felt as if the Lord wanted me to ask the church to pray that the cancer had not spread to the lungs. And so the church prayed. I was put on the prayer list, and the church prayed, and the results came back, and the 5 nodules were not cancerous. They looked just the same as they had before, and the doctor said it's probably from old pneumonia. So I just praise the Lord for that. During this illness, the Lord has taught me so much. I'm trusting Him on a deeper level. I feel His love for me like never before. You know, He just shows it to me. He's so gracious to me. And He's been just showing me His love. And showing me that He will never leave me or forsake me. And that's a scripture that He gave to Carol, who's not here tonight, but she had told me, the Lord gave me that scripture for you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And I've held on to that. So He's teaching me really how to wait on Him. I mean, He's taught me how to wait on Him, and I'm getting better at it, you know, and not to strive. And I'm getting better at it. He's given me a peace in the knowledge that He's working out His perfect will for my life, whatever it is, and that, you know, whether I'm healed or whether it's the ultimate healing, you know, I don't matter. It doesn't matter. Our life is just a wisp, and then we have eternity, and that's what I look forward to, really. So each person here has a trial they're going through. We all have trials, and our trials change through life, and you know, I'm facing other trials in my life right now, too, besides cancer. I mean, we all have trials. But I just know the Lord is always with me, and He will never forsake me. And He's always with you, and He will never forsake you, no matter what happens. And so He'll give you joy in the midst of your trials if you ask Him. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're happy or joyous because of the trial, but in the middle of the trial, He can give you His joy if you ask. So I just want to encourage each of you that whatever trials you go through, just lean on Him, feel His presence and feel His love and His protection. He loves you so much. And pray for His will. Just pray for His will, because He wants what's best for you. And pray for His joy. And let's just, like they say in Luke, let's seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And let's not worry. Let's be like those little lilies in the field, shining brightly for the Lord. That's what we need. And let's not forget our mammograms.